just need to lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Just where you are, just say that name. Begin to fill this place with the name of Jesus. God, from your heart, say it from your heart today. Pray with me this morning. Just lift up that name of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, Jesus, we love you, God. Jesus, we need you. Wonderful name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess the name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. God. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, Father, we come in that name of Jesus this morning. God, I don't know what you want to do here today. God, or what you're going to do here today, but we come to you and we cry out and we thank you for the privilege. God, for the opportunity to come into your presence. Oh God, and we call upon the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill this place with your presence. Oh God, that you would pierce our hearts. Jesus, that you would open our eyes today. God, the ears of our understanding. Jesus, we need you. God, we commit this time to you. Oh God, have your way in us this morning. God, that it would be you speaking this morning. God, that your power would be felt by all in this place. God, undeniable presence of the living God in here this morning. Oh God, have mercy on us. Jesus. Jesus. I'm not sure what we're doing this morning fully, but we're just going to trust the Lord that he's going to do something. He's already doing something. And he's always doing something. We're going to be looking in Joshua for a little while this morning. We're up to a portion of Joshua where it's talking about the inheritance and just Joshua divvying out the land to the tribes of Israel. But I want to start this morning just backtracking. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them up to Genesis, the book of Genesis. And we kind of want to see how we got to this point in Joshua where there's this inheritance promised to the people of Israel. So I'm going to take you through and just see how this theme just continues and how God's promises, his goals and his hopes for his people and what they are. So we'll start in Genesis 12, verse 6 and 7. We're not going to spend a lot of time in these verses. We're just going to kind of follow them through to lead up to the title of my message this morning is The Inheritance. The Inheritance. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. And Abram took Sarai as his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. The promise was there. God gave the promise to Abraham. That's the very land that Joshua sits in our story, the promised lands of Canaan. Go over to Genesis 15. I want you to see this, how this promise of this inheritance was from the beginning. Genesis 15. Verse 18. And on the day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Girgazites, and the Jebusites, and all the other sites there were. And there's, again, we see this promise, God renewing his promise. I'm going to give you land. There's an inheritance I have waiting for you. And we move on, this Genesis 28. Go with me to Genesis 28. So that's Abram. In Genesis 28, we see this promise. God's always renewing his covenant, always renewing his promises, reminding his people. Genesis chapter 28, verse 13 and 14. And this is Jacob. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And to you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so we see God renewing this promise to Jacob, first Abraham, and now to Jacob. And now we go over to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to see how he renews this same covenant and promise to Moses. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Exodus chapter 3, 16 and 17. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Again, we see Abraham, Jacob, Moses, the promise being renewed constantly. Go with me to the book of Numbers now. Book of Numbers. This is our little Pentateuch rundown this morning. That's the first five books of the Bible, if you don't know that. Numbers chapter 26, verse 52 to 56. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, among these the land shall be divided for inheritance according to the number of names. To a large tribe you shall give a large inheritance, and to a small tribe you shall give a small inheritance. Every tribe shall be given its inheritance in proportion to its list. But the land shall be divided by lot according to the names of the tribes of their fathers they shall inherit. Their inheritance shall be divided according to lot between the larger and smaller. And this one really is starting to hone it back in. We're going to see in a minute in Joshua how this was, God is speaking through his prophets, through his people, preparing, always preparing. God's always preparing for what's next. Nothing's really, should ever really be a surprise to us, because God speaks through his word and he speaks through his people. And we'll see in a minute how this is exactly what Joshua was doing. He was dividing the inheritance for the people by lot, big and small, according to the word of the Lord through Moses. And let's go to Deuteronomy 31 with me. Now Moses is in his last days. He's handing off the baton to Joshua. Again, we're just building up here to where we're going to be in a minute. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8. And then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear, and do not be dismayed. And so we see that word to Joshua throughout the last couple months of studying Joshua, how many times God said, do not fear, Joshua. Be strong. Do not be dismayed. And God even spoke that to him when he was just a young man and taking the baton from Moses. Through Moses, he spoke that. But again, this idea of, Joshua, you're going to be the guy. God's given me the word, but you're going to be the guy to split up the inheritance. Because there's a promise for God's people. There's an inheritance awaiting each one of us who know the Lord. Now let's go to Joshua. We'll finally make it to Joshua, chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 23 for a moment here. And so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. That's important there. Took the land according to all that was spoken to Moses. Joshua didn't go and do his own thing. Joshua didn't say, Moses had some good ideas, but I'm going to do it this way. He knew Moses was a man of God. He knew Moses was a prophet of God, that Moses' words were the words of the Lord, and he followed through with what Moses had done. And so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel, according to their tribal allotment. And the land had rest from war. And so we have this idea again of this inheritance. This it really wasn't an inheritance. We think of an inheritance as you have something and you die and then your child or whoever it is takes it over. This was more of a possession. It was more of a promise than an inheritance. It was just a matter of the Israelites getting to the promised land and then it was theirs. They didn't have to wait. Once it was acquired, once it was possessed by the Israelites, then it became an inheritance to their children. They passed on the land. But initially, it was a possession. God was saying, I am giving you something. It's already yours, but you have to go take it. You have to go possess the land. That's your inheritance. That's my promise, because my promise is yes and amen. So it's there for you. You have to go and get it. And so Joshua is here in chapter 16 to 20. As I was reading, again, I just am always overwhelmed by the fullness of God's word and how we could spend probably a year just talking about the designation of the inheritances and the significance of each portion of land and the tribes. And we don't have the time to do that today. So we're kind of going to, verse chapter 16 to 20 is about this divvying up of the land to the tribes. But go with me to chapter 18. And so some of the tribes got land on the other side of the Jordan, and the rest of them are going to get their land on this side of the Jordan. And Joshua gets the job of splitting it up, again, according to the word of Moses. So there were seven tribes left that hadn't gotten their land yet. And that's where we are in chapter 18. Verse 1, it says, "And the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. And the land lay subdued before them. There remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned." And so you have the other tribes got their stuff, and they're just waiting. All right, Joshua, where's ours? Where's our inheritance? Where's our possession? You gave out to them. Now, where next? Give us what's coming to us. But watch what Joshua says, and this is where I want to kind of take a turn this morning. Verse 3, "So Joshua said to the people of Israel, 'How long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord your Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?'" So they say, "Joshua, give us our inheritance. What land is ours? Which is the one that God has set apart for us? Would you give it to us?" And Joshua just turns very simply. He says, "How long? It's right there. Your inheritance is there. But you have to go get it. It's a possession, not an inheritance. It's yours to take, but you have to go and take the land. The possession is yours." And I just love how Joshua says, "How long will you put off going in to take possession of the land?" And as I was thinking about this message and praying about it, and I had these chapters to do, and I'm looking at it, and I'm overwhelmed by kind of just the reality of, in this. And Gad got such and such land and this land and that land, and you're just like, well, where am I going to go with this? And it just was the inheritance. That was what I felt the Holy Spirit, it's about the inheritance. And in this case, it's a physical inheritance. It's the inheritance of the land that the Israelites were promised. It's the possession that God was giving to his people. But there is a greater inheritance offered to us as believers in Christ. Offered to the world who doesn't know Christ. An inheritance. And the question this morning, as Joshua asked, have you taken possession of the inheritance that's been given to you? And I think sometimes we kind of are hesitant, or we don't even know what the inheritance looks like. We don't even know what's available to us. Because what Joshua did then, he kind of said, you know, go out, scout the land, mark it, make a map, and then come back and we'll draw lots and then I'll distribute the land. And so often as Christians, we can get in this mindset, we don't even know what's available to us. So much is available to the child of God. And yet, I feel so often we don't possess the inheritance. You see people struggling and we just don't know what do we have in Christ? All things in Christ. If you guys go with me to the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to take a look at this. This is really where I want to spend the bulk of our time this morning and really focus on is this inheritance that is offered to us. This amazing inheritance, this amazing possession that God lays out before us and says, go take it. Go possess your inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, We always got to be reminded, and I think most of us do, is that it's only in God's mercy. It's by grace we've been saved, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God that no man can boast. And God, in his mercy, in his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope. Did you see that? Sometimes, you know, many of us, again, been in the Lord many years, and we it's, oh yeah, born again. This, do we realize the reality of that? In God's mercy, he caused us to be born again. We were dead in our trespasses. Done. An enemy of God. An enemy of the cross. And yet, in his mercy, he caused us to be born again. What did he cause us to be born again? To a living hope. That's our inheritance. That's our possession. Do you possess that? Are you born again today? Maybe some of you, you're not born again, and you're saying, what does that even mean? I've heard it. That's a bunch of crazy people, right, that run around and talk about Jesus. Yes, it is. We are crazy. You have to be crazy to be born again. But are you? Is that your inheritance today? Are you possessing the living hope that comes only through Christ? And if you are you walking in it? Are you walking in the inheritance? Are you living as a child of the one true God? Do you walk in the joy of the Lord? Is that your strength? Are you saying, yes, this is my inheritance. I have possessed this living hope
found in Jesus Christ. And it is good. And it is really good. Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Well, we were resurrected from the dead when we came to Christ. Do you live like a new man or a new woman? Do you live as though you were dead but now alive? And that's what the world needs. That's what people need to see. They need to see the risen Christ in us. See, if we're no different, if we look the same, we just maybe talk a little bit different, or maybe we have a new routine of going to church, that there's no life there. If the risen Lord is alive in us, that's what draws people. It's not us. It's Christ in us. The hope of glory. That inheritance alive in us. I mean, people are going to want that and desire that. To be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfailing. Kept in heaven for you. Perfect. This inheritance awaits us. That's talking about our eternal inheritance. Right? It's imperishable and undefiled. Unfailing. When you wake up in the morning and you're looking at what you have ahead of you, or you're in the midst of your trial or your struggle, or at the end of the day you're tired and exhausted, do you have the kingdom in mind? Because when you have the kingdom in mind, that's where your hope is found. And all your troubles and trials and struggles and focuses begin to just melt away. They don't leave, but your focus is on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that is how we can overcome the world, through Christ and through the reality of this great inheritance that we have, these great promises that are available to us, but we have to access them. Pastor John mentioned earlier, amazing access we have to the throne of grace. Do you use it? Do you use it to your benefit? Do you access this living God in your life on a regular basis? How amazing it is that we can just plug into that at any time, in any circumstances. Plug into this amazing mercy of God that's undefiled and unfading. I love that, unfading. Right? What in this world doesn't fade? The best fabric, the cars, you get something new. It's all temporary. And so much of what we do, even as Christians, is we focus on the temporary things. And we're not heavenly minded. We're not focused on the kingdom. But we need to be focused on the kingdom. We need to be looking at things that will last. For where your heart is, right? For where your treasure is, that's where your heart also will be. Are you living for the kingdom of God? Is that the inheritance you're passing on to your children? Or are you storing up a nice savings for them that's just going to fade away anyway? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the idea, we spend so much time with retirements and saving money and this and that and the other thing, and so focused on the things of now. But they don't last. There's no eternal value to them. But if we would, as believers, begin to press in and focus on this great inheritance we have in Christ, I really believe it would absolutely change our perspective. It would change the things we spend our time doing. It would change how people see us. It would change even how we see ourselves. And all this available to those in Christ. All those who were born again by God's mercy. Jump back down to verse 4 here. It's kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be formed to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. In other words, do you rejoice in the struggle? Because most people don't rejoice in the struggle. But Christians need to rejoice in the struggle. I didn't hear a lot of amens. Christians need to rejoice. Why do we need to rejoice in the struggle? Because the struggle is in our inheritance. The hope we have through the struggle is our inheritance. That is our, Jesus is our joy. He is our peace. He is our life. And so when people see you rejoicing in the struggle, they'll say, what and how? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Because the world needs to know of the inheritance. And as we were praying, I don't even know at what point, but the Holy Spirit was just getting me. The world needs to know what we have. The world still needs Jesus. But do you see the world as needing Jesus? Are you too busy in maintaining life to see the broken people all around you? Broken in this world and headed to a godless eternity. With no inheritance, with no imperishable, unfading glory, but a godless eternity, separated, perishing. And I really felt in my spirit that God wanted to, my heart with this message originally was to encourage us in the inheritance we have as believers and to walk in that, walk confidently in that. And in victory in that, and in joy of the great gift we have. But then the Spirit was prompting me and dealing with me and saying, we need to long to see people born again. Do you have that in you? Because God wants to give it to you, a brokenness for souls. Perishing. When you look at people, do you see them as souls on their way to hell? Or are they just annoying coworkers? Are they just family members that just don't get it? Or does your heart break for them? I'll tell you a quick story. There's a young man, just talking about him, gets me emotional lots of ways, that I've been working with for a couple years at the mission. And he's been through some stuff, and he's turned 16, been doing drugs since he's 12 years old, getting high every day for the last 4 years or so. And been hearing the gospel and responding kind of to it, and then really responded to the gospel, and then went off either further than he was. But God, in his mercy, grabbed a hold of this young man's life about 2 months ago. And he stopped smoking, stopped getting high, and he got born again. I mean, really, he's really born again. I you could ask my wife. I don't say that about anybody. because you know it by their life. This young man, we have Tuesdays when kids come and hang out, and he's like, I can't wait till Thursday, because Thursday's Bible study. And he's like, I can't, and he comes in, he gets in the van, and he's just talking about the scriptures. And he's got all kinds of questions about what he's reading. And I'm not pulling him along. I'm not calling him up. Did you read? He's just reading on his own. He's full of the Spirit of God. But this really got me the other day. He got invited to his cousin's birthday party down in Virginia. His grandma and grandpa were going to Virginia to visit his cousin, turning 18, who also gets high. And I guess that's kind of been their relationship over the past. And he told me he didn't go with his grandma and grandpa because he didn't want to be tempted to get high with his cousin. And he was ministering to his cousin via text, just telling him about his new faith and how God really wanted to help him, his cousin, walk away from this lifestyle. And then his cousin kind of cut him off. He said he just stopped the message. And I could tell he was a little upset, and maybe I said, so were you mad? He said, no, I wasn't mad. I was sad because my cousin, there's more for him. I was brokenhearted because I found Jesus. And I have this new hope in me. And my heart just, and that's what he was saying. My heart's broken for him. Because he could be set free from this addiction. Is that your heart today? Do you break for the lost? Do you desire to see people living in that inheritance that you experience? What greater thing is there for us than to share the gospel? In whatever way God calls you to do it, not everybody's a street preacher. Not everyone gets on the corner with a bullhorn. Not everybody goes to the train station and hands out tracts. But wherever it is God has put you, are you burdened for the lost around you? Are you sharing with them this great inheritance that they too can possess through the blood of Christ? And there'll be those who turn it away. That's when you just pray. I'll tell you one other quick story of this man that we've been ministering to for over the last couple years. He first came to us out of prison. He was an ex-blood member, just a mess of a man. And he came seemingly broken and full of all kinds of addictions and in and out. We'd try to minister to him and get him on his feet and help him out, and then he would take off. And then we'd see him a year later, and I'm trying to get back on my feet again. And we'd help him out, and then sure enough, he'd be gone. And last time I saw him was maybe a year and a half ago, and he came with the same thing. And we helped him out, and we got him clothes, and we were helping him out. And he had a wife and five kids and addictions, and he was just a mess. And he left Teen Challenge, and he came to us, and I'm driving with him. And I'm like, you know, when he's been exposed to the gospel and the whole bit, and wife needed gas, and so I went and I gave him $10 to get gas for his wife's van, and 5 minutes later I get a call from his wife. He's gone. He took the money. So now I have this woman with five kids and needs gas, and her husband took off and took the money to probably go get high. And so I call him up and I leave a message that was, what are you doing? Hold this man accountable. Haven't seen him, year and a half. The other day, he walks in looking for me. I walk out. You mad at me? That's what he says to me. said, no, I'm not mad at you. And he's going on, he's carrying on about everything and his addictions, and he just got out of jail again and the whole bit. I said, look, you need Jesus. You have to stop. And sometimes we need to tell, there's those people in our life, that some people need the grace and the mercy and the love. We all need that. And then there's sometimes people, you just say, I said, look, you need Jesus. Just stop already with the excuses. The only thing that will set people free is Jesus. Is that in your heart this morning? The reality that everyone around you needs Jesus. Do you think that way? They need Jesus. And not for a notch in your belt of convincing someone else that they need Christ. Not for the wrong motive. But does your heart break for the lost? And this man, after a series, I won't tell you the whole series, but after a series of things, he walked out the door madder than he came in. But my heart broke for him because he's so lost and he's so bound up. And here it is, a possession. Here it is right before you, this inheritance available to you. If you would just take it, you could have it. His name is Jesus. He'll change your life. He'll give you a new heart, and he'll give you a new mind, and he'll give you a new spirit, and he'll live inside of you. Do you cry for the lost? As I was sitting there, I was thinking of Jesus' words after the triumphal entry, Luke 14. Luke 13, sorry. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I believe, I'm going to wrap up with this, that we can't long for people to experience the inheritance until we have fully possessed the inheritance. And so maybe the hard examination this morning is, do you have that burden for the lost? And if you don't, maybe you haven't fully possessed the reality of what God has done for you. Redeemed us. Forgiven us. Yet, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. And how good has that been to you? And maybe for some, you said, well, it hasn't really been that good. Where are you focused? Because God is good. His very nature is good. God is love. And when you possess that, when it is who you are, when you walk and live in the inheritance of God, you know how good it is. It's real good. And it's so good that when you see other people who don't have it, you want them to have it too. And so this morning, I encourage you, admonish you to examine your heart this morning. Hey, if you're living in that inheritance and you, praise God, keep doing it. Walk fully in that inheritance. Walk in the joy of the Lord. Share your faith with people by what you do and by what you say. Maybe you're struggling this morning and you're saying, I really wonder sometimes, is God even there? Does he even hear me? He does. He hears you loud and clear. He sees you and he says, oh man, my heart breaks for you. how much more I have. I came to give you life, and life more abundantly. That's the heart of the Father this morning. To his kids. Yeah, we're his kids. He's our dad. Our dad. Children of God. What an inheritance. Way greater inheritance than anything this world could offer us. So I pray that this morning you would let the Lord just speak to your heart. What is he saying to you? Is he saying, how long are you going to wait? You've been saying you've known me for so long, but yet you haven't possessed all that I have for you. And oh, God has so much for us. So much for us. We didn't even get into half the verses I was balancing. It was like those story, you know, the stories you read through, and then you're like, if you want to go to page 52 for this ending, or if you want to go to page 73 for this. That's how I was feeling as I was praying this, because there were so many ways I could go to just share with us all the things available to us as God's kids. Do you access it? Are you living in that great inheritance? If you guys would pray with me this morning. Just with your eyes closed, I'm just going to read something to you in closing and then pray. See this heart in the Apostle Paul to the Colossians church. And he said, and so, from the day we heard what? That you were born again. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And Father, we thank you this morning for this great inheritance. Through the shed blood of Jesus. God, we thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you desire to do through us and in us. Father, I pray that we be a people that walk in the inheritance of our God. That we would be a people that would be full of the joy of our salvation. That we would walk as a people who are new and full of life. And Spirit, I pray that you would burden us for the perishing and for the broken. God, that we would see them as you see them. And that we would rely on you, Lord, I pray, even as you spoke to Joshua, that we not be discouraged or fear or be dismayed. But even as you spoke to the apostles in Acts, that you would fill our mouths with the words to say. That we not rely on our own strength, but we would begin to rely on your Spirit and be sensitive to it God, knowing that your heart, your burden is for the lost. And that you even used a donkey. You could surely use us, your servants, your creation. So God, I pray this day, in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh in us today. That you would draw us into sweet fellowship with you. All of our days increasing in wisdom and knowledge and power of spiritual things. That we would be kingdom focused. And you, through us, would bring in a great harvest of souls for the glory of God. We thank you today. We love you. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.